Hey everybody, it is 9:30, time for the Friday Night Hangout. This is where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you on Halloween night. I'm dressed up for the occasion, so is Carrie. Everybody else forgot their costume. Well, that's okay. We got lots of great topics to talk about tonight and interacting with you live on the internet, on YouTube, Google+, and of course on avoidingchores.com. Let's do a quick round of introduction as we get all settled in for tonight. Let's start with the new guest, the new panel. Great to have him here. We got Chad here, the albino rhino out in Ontario with us tonight. So great to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
And let's switch over to Nova Scotia. We got Keith Elliott, KeithElliottStone.com with us tonight. And off to Cape Breton, where we got Carrie with us tonight in his real hat and bandana and drink. And moving on to the valley, we got Lee Hoogley, Beer and Booze Reviews, with us tonight. And, of course, I'm here in Halifax with my virtual hat and virtual eye patch. That's right. It is not real. All right, so just to let you let everybody know how things work, if you're watching live, you can DVR the Hangout. You can wait till the end, and then we can do the replay about 10, 15 minutes once we're done. And, of course, you can listen to the audio-only podcast version, which shows up on the weekend. And I'd like to thank everybody who's been downloading the podcast. The numbers have been going up and up and up every week, so really happy that people are at least giving it a try. And I, like I said, it's just as good audio only than it is with the Hangout format. So it's good stuff. We got a number of people jumping in, so I'd like to thank all the viewers with us tonight. So let's let's start the way that we normally do, which is what we are drinking tonight. We're going to start with Lee. Lee, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
I am having a can of Planter's Pale Ale from Sea Level.
Oh, nice. I haven't had that in a while. What? When was the last time you had that?
It's been a long while. I think the last time I had it was probably in a growler, like the very first time I went to Sea Level. Okay. It's not my favorite beer of theirs, but I thought I'd try it out in the can and see if I liked it any better. It's okay.
It's okay. All right. Good stuff. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I got me a couple of bottles of Hell Bay English Ale. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, I like it, and I shall enjoy it.
All right, good stuff. I got one in the fridge here. I don't think I'll get to it tonight there, but maybe tomorrow. Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
Just for Halloween, I picked up a Picaroon's Dark and Stormy Night Dark Wheat Beer.
Good
Good. Very nice.
That's a really good beer.
Very nice. All right, let's go to Chad. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm going to be slumming it tonight. I'm going to drink a can of Waterloo Kolsch.
Well, you know, that we get that here, Lee, right?
I don't know if we get the Kolsch. I've never seen it here.
Or was it in the sampler packs?
It was in the spring sampler pack. I sent one of my buddies out to get me the Porter sample pack because the website said that beer store had it, and this is what they gave them.
So I didn't see that sampler pack. I saw basically the same damn sampler pack they sent me once before. So I don't know. We got something different.
Yeah, it must have been because, yeah, I may have seen that in the spring. Who knows? I am drinking Boxing Rock, Vickers Cross, you know. And I'm also pairing that with, I was kegging beer tonight. This is my Russian Imperial Stout that I really screwed up. And this is the what's left of it here, my little sample here. So it tastes like a very bitter dark chocolate, my little sample here. It's like a 75 dark chocolate. So I really screwed it up. But that's okay. It seems somewhat drinkable all of a sudden. So.
Hey, Jim, as long as it's somewhat drinkable, it's okay. I mean, We have to experiment on the flavors and everything else, so it's going to work all right. As long as it tastes good to drink.
Exactly, and I figured if I'm grabbing it straight from the carboy, pouring into the keg, I'm taking a little sample, and it's somewhat drinkable at this stage. I can just imagine, hopefully, carbonated, and once it's aged a little bit more, that we can get something that
it'll be good.
Hopefully, that's the hope. How would I be able to recreate it? No, because that was just a mess up. Anyway, all right. Before we get started here, just a quick word from some of our friends here. Picaroons up in New Brunswick here will have their launch party for their winter warmer, so check out their Facebook page for that. Picaroons are really excited with their winter warmer. Garrison, they're also having a naming contest for their Klingon-style beer. It's a rye beer, and I believe Maxwell Starr won the contest, or won one of the days of the contest there for naming the beer. I was checking their Twitter there, and I think I saw his name there. So check out Garrison's Facebook page for those details. The Double Jack from Garrison is pretty much all gone, but their Martello Stout started to appear on shelves. And finally, the Hell Bay Brewing up in Liverpool, they're sponsoring a local hockey team by having their logo on a very cool-looking hockey jersey, which is the jersey. The background is basically a half-filled cup of beer, and then you get their Hell Bay logo on the front. Looks pretty cool. And no details as to whether or not it's just for the jerseys for the hockey team, or you'll be able to buy that. But I think they'd be able to sell a few jerseys from that. All right, boys, let's start with the first topic here, and this is a great topic, made the news, and basically this is, people call it a typical Nova Scotia news, but I just say a typical Canadian news. There was a robbery, there was a house break-in, but instead of using a getaway car, he used a getaway canoe. He canoed across the Northwest Arm, and police was able to find the red canoe and apprehend the suspect at Sir Fleming Park, or at the Dingle, the locals would know. When was the last time you heard somebody using the getaway canoe? That was the first time that I've heard
it. I've never heard it. That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, getaway is all about speed, right? And conspicuous.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't see me.
We'll just go after him and wait for him to come ashore.
Like, was he drunk when he was robbing this place? Because that's about the dumbest idea I can, like, oh, the cops will never catch me out in the open water where I have no chance of escaping if they send a boat out there.
He may have. Apparently, he had a sword in the canoe, too, instead of a gun. So, you know, we're dealing with,
He's a regular black. Yeah, he's a regular Blackbeard. He's a Jack Sparrow.
He tried. He tried. Give him 100% for trying. Give him 100% for trying, please.
Well, I give him 100%. He was like 40 or 50 years old, but he was like 20. Like, he watches TV. He knows that a canoe is a little slow.
Run!
I would give him if he was 50, I'd give him an A because it would be kind of funny. But if he's just a 21-year-old dumbass,
give him a D for being stupid.
Yeah.
But they didn't say which house he stole from, so we have no idea which house he was robbing and what he was grabbing there. So. I thought that was just hilarious. and you can just tell the radio host doing the news, reading the story, they're just, waiting to burst out laughing because it's just so ridiculous.
Why would you use the stagecoach?
Now I forgot to add in the comments here, the other robbery up in Lee's neck of the woods in Berwick, the topless robber. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
No, I never hear any news from Berwick, so.
apparently at the Needs Convenience, a woman walked up to the cashier, lifted up her shirt, distracted the cashier while her partner stole from the cash or whatever he stole there. So that
Where were these criminals back when I was working at the Ultramar gas station years ago?
Crazy times, I'm telling you.
Terrible injustice.
The circle. The never-ending circle.
It is crazy. Hey, just a reminder, people who are watching, you can interact with us live. You can interact with us via Twitter, Google+, YouTube. We've got the boys checking on the comments. We'll do one more story, and then we'll check the comments on avoidingchores.com and on YouTube. And I'll be checking Google+ here because we missed quite a few Google+ comments last time. Just a quick Twitter comment here. We got Slars or Slow Rover. He's saying, "Yarr!" He likes the hat. My hat, Kerry, not your hat.
Really?
Even though yours is real, mine is fake. So. But anyway, let's move on to the quick next story, then we'll get into the comments here. Ships starts here. This is the magical pill for Nova Scotia that the NDP government, previous NDP government, had. They put everything into it. This is where we would spend billions of dollars building warships. I forget the number, the original number. But it looks like there's enough money for 3 ships.
Yep, maybe 4 if they're lucky.
Maybe 4 if they're lucky.
No supply ships, just the Arctic patrol ships.
Yeah. Supply ships, not the, you know, military grade. And Irving is looking for a tax break. Because, you know, their building is only one purpose. Is just, you know, it's by the water. You put a ship in it. There's not much purpose, so we should have a tax break, so.
It's a huge building, too. It's huge.
Oh, it's ginormous. It's absolutely ginormous. You know what, guys? I don't know. I'm a little bit tired of these government giveaways for jobs, and we see stories about call centers and you know, moving and stuff like that. At what point will, you know, handouts stop?
I mean, we've talked about this before. Be better off doing smaller business tax breaks instead of throwing it at these big businesses that, at the end of the day, they don't care what happens. Hope they save some money.
Yeah, it's just it's like one handout after another. It doesn't matter what it is, call center, shipbuilding, friggin' nothing stupid yacht, ferry thing to Maine. Like, it's just a big money hole. It's just that the only one making any money off it are the politicians and the contractors, you know. Other than that, it's nobody else is making money. We're not making, I doubt we're making enough tourist dollars to justify anything.
And the worst part is, like, you know, the whole part of the shipbuilding process, you know, when they're building it, there were advertising jobs in the Philippines, and I was driving in front of the shipyard, the building that they want a tax break, and I see all these Filipinos trying to get the bus to go to their.
Yeah, didn't they say when they first proposed this stuff, they're like, "Oh, there's going to be all these jobs for Nova Scotians. We're going to educate Nova Scotians, put them to work. We're going to get them jobs. It's going to boom the economy." And it's like, no, they're sending the jobs out to some other people. It's like,
well, yeah, they jumped the gun on that. The NDP was trying to take credit for something they had nothing to do with as far as the decision making went, and then they're trying to take credit for the jobs that be created. But I mean, they're gone anyway. But none of it had anything to do with them at all.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
And you know, if it would be more understandable if the, you know, they would said, "All right, you know, we're going to get this procurement contract. We're going to build some ships. Don't know the number. Don't go crazy, Halifax. Don't jump the housing prices by 40-50% and expect all these high-end workers coming in. We have a shortage of welders and pipe fitters because they all been moving out west." you know, let's go this slow. We're not cutting steel until 2015, and this is something that a lot of media missed 3 years ago. Nothing's happening until next year at the latest. So, well,
and the DM just keeps getting smaller and smaller. There's supposed to be two supply ships built in Halifax, huge, like 700-800-foot-long supply ships. Now it looks like they're probably going to lease a couple that were just taken out of service in the States conveniently.
Hmm. Now let's bring in Chad. Right? Let's bring in Chad from Ontario here. And Chad, I don't know if you're are you in that area where you're affected by the GM car, some other big industry in your neck of the woods, or?
St. Catharines had two GM plants, and they are both basically closed. It is down to like one shift working like 20% of the time right now.
Mm. And do you find or do you hear that there's something that's gonna take over the slack, or you know, do you feel like there's a movement to bring something back into the area to? And we had our time, and
we've heard that several times over the past decade that I've been in this area, but nothing's happened. The buildings just sit there empty still. Mm.
And you talk about huge buildings, and
yeah, they're gigantic. They're like three city blocks. Yeah.
So if you don't see anything happening in Ontario, which is a have province compared to Nova Scotia, which is a have not province, what do you think is going to actually happen in Nova Scotia next time?
Yeah. Now, on top of that, you know where Chad is, St. Catharines. They're a hell of a lot closer to the border than we are. Way more easy access to get across. So you know.
Well, you look at Windsor, too, right? Like, Windsor's still basically a ghost town. You can still buy a house there cheap because there's no one there anymore.
But where... Okay, just a quick question there. What's the latest hotspot that everybody's going to in Ontario in terms of down in the, I guess, the Horseshoe area?
If you're looking at the Horseshoe, you're probably going still just Burlington. Ontario in general, you're basically London, Toronto, Ottawa, Barrie, maybe Hamilton. There's not that many big places. Basically, any place that has a university usually has something going on in it too.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. And of course, in Nova Scotia, most of our urban centers have the universities, and there's nothing going on, right? All right, let's jump to the comments. We'll get the boys to refresh their pages, and just a reminder, everybody, that it's Friday night hangout. Grab a brew. We got a number of people watching. I'd like to thank everybody for watching. I'd like to thank some of the new panelists that we got coming in. We got Chad here from Ontario. We got Lori Bin. Hopefully we can get her tech issues resolved. I see her mute button is enabled, so we're getting close.
That's a good sign.
Carrie, what do we got on the YouTube page?
We got a couple of comments on the YouTube page. GC Storm says there's still lots of floating at around. I don't know.
Halifax Harbor?
Probably. And he also says, looks like a pirate is a popular theme for tonight. He says he is wearing a pirate hat and drinking a Garrison Kickasser.
Haha, awesome.
Yeah, and Slow River says, hey guys, I skipped the Halloween candy for Harvest Ale Straw from Muskoka. Way better than one of those black tar flavor candies.
All right. Excellent, good stuff. Do you have any more comments?
No.
Okay, I'm seeing some stuff here on. Do I see stuff on Google Plus? No, I think that was it. Lee, do we have anything on Google Plus on voting chores? I should say.
Yeah, Bluefin's back from the ocean. He says, hey, gang, back on Shore tonight, so I get to enjoy one of my craft beers, a pale ale, so one of his homebrews. Welcomes Chad to the panel. Good to see more people getting on the panel, he says. And he's looking forward to getting some Picaroon's Winter Warmer.
Ooh. Yeah.
I shall have one of them next week.
I'm hoping.
Or five, or six, or eight.
Yeah, well, I'm passing through there next week. There, we're going to go see the folks up in up northwest in Madawaska County. So,
just waiting here for a second. It looks like Lori might actually be on here now. She might not be familiar. Take your mouse or however you can, Lori, up to the top of the screen, and a little few icons will pop up, and one says. Mute microphone or unmute microphone, and you should click that, and it should unmute you because it automatically mutes you when once you get too many people into the chat. So I don't know how that would work on the bloody phone if that's what she's using.
No, I think she's using a laptop. I can't unmute her, so that's. Unfortunate there. So, yeah, she's trying. She's been trying. We've been sending some messages here via the Twitter here. Hopefully, now she's gone. So, we're trying. We started out early tonight to try to get her in there and try to get the tech issues resolved. But just like anything else, it's not easy getting into the Friday night hangout, kids. It's tough. And any more comments, Lee? We're all good. All right, I got the Slow Rover comment here. Neil commented there, and I'm just going to check quickly on the other Twitter. Halifax again was retweeting, and I believe Taste Halifax were also retweeting the hangout here. So thanks a lot, guys, for retweeting that. Let's move on to the next topic, which is, well, this is the big news of the week. Gian Gomeshi, ex-CBC star, the whole circus behind that. Now, this is a fast-moving story. When I first created the Hangout, we knew a few things. And then every day, everything's changing. Everything is changing, and tonight, even just a few minutes before the hangout started, I see word on Twitter that two of the women who have been talking to the newspapers have contacted the Toronto police, so there will be a police investigation on John Gomeshi's stuff. Shenanigans, I like to call it. Guys, who's been following this, or who has not been following this week?
All I can say is what you just said at the end there is great. I'm so glad that that's happening, because up until then I was saying that the thing to think about now is it legal to go and slander somebody in the news without going and doing the criminal investigation portion of it?
Because before that...
Before that, they were all coming out saying this happened, and when you read some of it, it wasn't just abuse. Some of it was straight-up rape, and nobody was going and filing anything, so is that right? But now that somebody's gone and filed it, okay, good.
Yeah. Now that you have people filing, and you actually have women like Lucy DeCoulter, or whatever her name is, from Trailer Park Boys, actually giving like a detailed account, it doesn't look good for Gomeshi. But at the same time, I'm reserving judgment, okay? It's like, don't just demonize the guy right off the bat just because he might be into BDSM or whatever. There's always been cases of people going after famous people because they think they can get money out of it, they can get exposure out of it, and they don't care if they lie or sully their own reputations. But as more evidence seems to be piling up now, it's... really not looking good for him, but I'm with Chad. I'm glad there's actually a criminal case going now where we
can. Up until then, regardless of whether or not he was innocent or guilty, it was just destroy his career and nothing else.
Yeah.
Because his career is over. Like whether he's guilty or not guilty, there's always going to be that stigma on him now where someone's going to doubt him. Like someone's going to be like, yeah, I know he didn't go to jail or nothing, but, you know, I don't want to hire this guy, you know, it's so...
Let's go back a little bit, because we do have some friends from the U.S. who may not know who John Gomeshi is, so let's backtrack a little bit and try to summarize the story here. So John Gomeshi is on the Q show on CBC, and that is money for CBC. Not only is the big morning show, attracts the younger viewers, but also is on 170 U.S. stations across the U.S. He's on satellite radio. The momentum was building. He was building his own thing. And all of a sudden, CBC drops him like a hot potato, literally rips his face off the walls on his posters. Something has happened. Up to now, we have 9 women with similar stories.
Yep.
And the PR and crisis management firms that he contracted or employed at the beginning of the week have dropped him yesterday or today.
Some pretty damning things. I mean, the Star's been looking into this for months, so is Jesse Brown, and they claim that they have evidence, texts, emails, you know, all correspondence that adds up.
You see, that was the CBC.
The CBC said the reason they dropped him was because they actually saw physical evidence.
Yeah, you see, that was one of the things that rose a flag for me initially when they said the Star was going after him, because it's like the Star is hardly one of the more reputable organizations as far as I'm concerned. But it doesn't look good for him now. Like, there's just too much stuff coming at him. I mean, if he's innocent, then they're really piling on him like hardcore.
Well, yeah, and you know, like, the timeline of things is like, you know, Thursday he's taking a break, which, you know, you think back and if you read some of the articles, CBC were trying to like, okay, you know what? Let's just take time out. Take a break. Let's hopefully things will go quiet. And then sometime between last Thursday and Sunday or Saturday, you know, John Gomeshi apparently showed CBC management pictures and video of what he was talking about. And they probably already had the stuff the Toronto Star had. You know, like, two things. This is not what you were talking. This is not what you were saying. And this is way worse than what you were saying here. So, and after a week of getting all these additional stories and stuff, you can't blame CBC for saying, you know what? Let's just cut you loose right now, and you know, you can come back in 6 months where people kind of forget it, but this is too hot. Like, people are not going to like this. You know, you talk about 50 Shades of Grey, but during the week, the Toronto Star, Sunday night, they're not talking about 50 Shades of Grey. They're talking about something totally different.
Yeah, they're not talking consensual sex anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up.
Those fine details that are matching up in other stories too. It's, you know.
Yeah, and it was weird because go ahead, Chad.
I was gonna say, in all honesty, until he's proven guilty of something, I can accept him getting taken off the air, but I can't accept him getting fired until he's guilty.
Well, that's just it. It's like, you know, as a CBC employee, you have a union, you have HR. You could hide within the system and, you know, still get paid. You sit home, figure out your next business plan or whatever. But, you know, from where I was seeing there, no, he went through, no, you know what, frick that. I'm going to get a crisis management that Mulroney had when he was taking bribes from Airbus or whatever, German company, whatever. And I'm going to write this big Facebook post and say that it's a jilted lover and, you know what, everybody's up against me and stuff. He kind of stacked the deck against him, kind of, instead of just being quiet and doing the original plan, which was indefinite leave, be quiet, let's try to work this out and come back in 6 months or whatever it is, right? Mm. You know what I mean? Because now he, if you look at, if you do a quick search, any public figure, any politician that has anything sexual related, they're done. That's the standard. They're done doing doing, right?
For sure.
So the only thing you can do is shut up and let the professionals deal with it and deal with it, and then you come back. Like one of them, who was it there that all of a sudden he's on CNN? He has a show on CNN or something like that. I forget his name. It's from New York. I forget whatever. But that's just it, right? You know, it's like, you know, there's a little heat, let the lawyers do the thing, and if it's, let it come out in the wash. But now we're getting this pattern that, hell, who was it? Was it Lucy? That they're on a park bench, and he starts, you know, smacking and choking them on a park bench. It's yeah. it's no longer bedroom stuff. It's like there's a problem right there.
Because yeah, when you saw the initial reports, it's like you almost wanted to question CBC's decision because it felt like they were disapproving of someone's personal sex life that was between consensual adults. And if that was the case, then CBC would have been in the wrong totally, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Because here's a beacon of sort of progressive liberal media, really. And why are they frowning on this guy because he's into BDSM? I mean, between two consensual adults, you have no right to tell them what is wrong as long as they're not hurting anyone else. But now it looks like, yeah, this guy might very well be a sexual predator. So,
yeah, I mean... Well, I mean, that was the thing, right? Right at the beginning, it was like there was two separate cases. There was, can you actually be discriminated against and fired for your sexual preferences? And... Yeah. Is he criminally liable for this? Like, yeah. There was two separate cases at the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm just looking here. I got the second computer here. I'm seeing it on my Twitter feed. There's something going on CBC. There's a number of stories being posted, links and stuff. So it's probably a good time to check the comments and let know what's going on here. Just a reminder, you can, if you're watching live, you can scrub back just like a DVR, and you can also watch the replay once we're done. And we also have the audio-only podcast if you want to check that out. A number of people are increasingly checking out the podcast. I'd like to thank everybody who's checking that out. And let's start with Lee. Do we have anything on avoiding chores?
Yeah, one more comment from Bluefin. It said, it's very good for the women to come forward with formal complaints. At least now there will be a police investigation done and see what happened. It's a very disturbing story so far as the allegations go. Totally agree, yeah.
Carrie, what do we got on the YouTube?
A couple comments on the YouTube. Slow River says he skipped the Halloween ale for the harvest. Shit, I did that already. Anyway. Clover says Jim and Carrie have much competition from the rival canoe pirate. I guess I win, and you don't.
Yeah. Keeping it real.
That's what it.
All right. I got Maxwell Starr says that he just said 6 minutes ago that, man, John got around. And it's true. It seems like, if you look at compose the storyline here, he definitely got...
He was an influential guy in CBC. Like, he was a star. Like,
you read some of the stories, and, you know, like, the rest of the guys are not in here, but, you know, you look at certain industries, like, you can't make waves. Like, if you want to get ahead in certain industries, you got to take the crap. You know, you gotta have the shit sandwich. You gotta eat it when you have it, and media is one of them. Journalists is another one. Media, you know, and IT, you know, depending on the city and stuff like that. Like, you can't burn bridges. And
yeah, but
you
read, you know, you keep it secret for a long, long time until somebody says, "Oh, I'm upset about something somebody did to me."
Well, I guess the thing, Kerry, is that, you know, if you're looking at, in this situation here where, and we talked about radio, you know, we talked about the News 95.7 crew and stuff like that in our news, and they're mostly young, you know, young people just coming out of university with their first jobs and stuff like that. They want to have something to move up to, you know, deal with the crap, move up to the next job so that they can just get away with it. And you're reading a lot of these articles about, you know, what's going on at Q, and it sounds like a lot of the producers, a lot of the people working on that, that they were young, that was their first job, you know, they were doing something crazy and new, and they had this crazy madman, allegedly, whatever, and what they're going to do, and a lot of them were on contract. They could be staying home the next day if they said something and stuff, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Not to make excuses, but they probably figured they're committing career suicide, and they probably figured, oh, he's been doing this shit for a while. He's probably been getting away with it, and nobody else is saying anything, so I guess I'll keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Well, here's a thing. Something that happened that was documented in Frank Magazine, in the Halifax edition, in CBC Television, somebody decided to do a little practical joke. They took a tennis ball, they cut it in half, they took a marker, they did a little smiley face on one end of the tennis ball, so one half of the tennis ball, they unscrewed the viewfinder of the video camera that the videographers do when they go on the field, they unscrewed it, put the tennis ball in it, screwed it back in so that when the videographer took his camera, he would see a smiling face in his eye, right? Funny, right? Hilarious. No. Buddy got upset, went to the union, this whole thing, and now management had to do all these meetings about, really, we shouldn't be taking tennis balls and putting them in this, and, yeah, you know.
Let's revise your tennis ball.
You know. Whoever did it, we know who did it. You're suspended for 2 weeks. You know, hope you learned your lesson and all that stuff, right?
Sensitivity training.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Before we get to that, let's do a quick shout-out to some of our supporters here. North Brewing, they have their newest Saison de l'Acadie, which is, you know what, if you guys can come down to Halifax, try it or go to Stillwell, I highly recommend it. This is where they took Acadie grapes from the valley, I think from Benjamin Bridge, and I forget the amount, the grist, you know, it's the squashed grapes there. They put it in their Saison and 10 kilograms of Nova Scotia honey. You got something very, very nice. It's a Saison, it's sparkling, there's that honey background, it's nice. Like, they really got a winner in that one. So, North Brewing, Saison de l'Acadie. Trail Shop, they got their Tuesday Talks continuing. You can check out their Facebook page for that, and for some of them, there's an admission, either $2 or a non-perishable food donation. Get you in for that. And at some point, they're supposed to invite me to do one of these talks, and I haven't gotten a date yet, but I was going to do hammock camping. That was my topic, but I guess they're taking a while to book me. So, let's see. InReach Canada, they will have their winter promotion starting tomorrow. Check out their Facebook page. And if you're debating whether or not to get an InReach, an InReach Explorer such as this, you check out their Facebook page, and they'll probably have a nice little deal for you. Maybe similar to what they had last year, which was pretty good, so check that out. Also, finally, Sea Level. They have their Pumpkin Grinner Pumpkin Ale and their Blueberry Ale still available in some of the private stores around Nova Scotia. You can check that before they're all gone. And this is a great time to do what we are drinking tonight. Let's start again with Lee. Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
Chad said he was slumming it. No, I am slumming it. I am having a combination of Summersby pear cider and Summersby citrus flavored cider mixed together in a glass. So I'm now officially the weakest link in this chat.
Damn.
How do you like that?
Yeah. How's that
I think the citrus is the best out of all the ones I've had so far, and the rest of them are sugary date rape kit drug drinks, basically.
I liked the apple the best, and I liked the blackberry.
I saw it at the corner store, and I was wondering if it was any good or not. So.
No, it's not any good. Chad's out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I am albino.
Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
Hell Bay. I got the Hell Bay English Ale, and like I said a couple weeks ago, I like it. Good beer. Other than that, the next one down the line is going to be a Picaroon's Bitters. So.
All right. Bitter all around. English style ales. Keith, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
Picaroon's Dark and Stormy Night. Dark wheat beer. I really like it.
Is that still bottle number one or bottle number two?
Well, I've got another bottle. Don't you worry about me.
Good boy. All right, Chad, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm still trying to get through this disgusting can of Kolsch.
Wow. He must be really mad if he doesn't finish that already.
Same thing. I'm just finishing off Boxing Rocks Vicar's Cross Double IPA, and I got a little bit of my little experiment Russian Imperial Stout, which ended up being just a regular stout, 4.6%. But it tastes like a very bitter dark chocolate, so I will try to age that a couple more weeks. So, yeah. Let's do a quick check on the comments, boys, on Avoiding Chores on YouTube. And just a reminder, everybody, you can leave a comment. Send us a Twitter, YouTube, avoidingchores.com. There's a whole bunch of ways you can interact with us. And we definitely have a lot of fun with that. Let's see. We have Slow Rover. He said that his internet crapped out. The scariest thing that could happen to me, so appropriate on Halloween. Enjoy the rest of the hangout. He's out. Do I have anything here? No. Lee, do we have anything on avoidingchores.com?
Bluefin just plumbed in and said, Lee, why don't you have a cran burrito? That is slumming to the max. unfortunately, don't have a cran burrito. Almost wish I did.
All right. Carrie, what do we have on the YouTube page?
A couple of comments on the YouTube page. Let me see. Where is it? GC Storm says our safety word is Oklahoma. Whatever, Oklahoma. And he also says that it looks like the pirate is a popular theme tonight. He is wearing a pirate hat and drinking Garrison Ale. Ass kicker that he has sellers. Okay.
Oh, wow. That was a while ago, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Slow River says, did you hear that about the Batman robber in RBC in Sackville? Or Sack Vegas or something like that? Yeah, Sack Vegas.
Yeah. That was, I guess that happened this morning. Security guys were doing an ATM check at some gas station. Guy came up to them in the Batman costume and tried to rob them, and then he just ran away.
What do you mean a guy? It was probably Batman. He's just hard up.
No.
The economy's hurt him.
No, it was some guy in a Batman costume because he didn't have the car, didn't have the motorcycle.
Well, no, Bruce Wayne had to sell all that stuff. I mean, Wayne Corp.
That's tough, man.
Slower also says. Slow River also comments about the Slow River and RBC attack base. Yeah, all right. Meanwhile, Nova Scotia, Shauna Mack says, Jim says live. Yeah, all right. You said Jim.
What happened?
Last comment. Flow River, Jim and Kerry won't have much competition from the rival Canoe Pirate. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
All right, cool.
All right,
so we have a comment from Shauna Mac. Is that who we had it from?
Yep.
All right, cool. Shauna Mac. Yeah, she's from up in the Shubenacadie area, I think, somewhere up there. I got a comment here from Maxwell Starr. He says here, when I first heard of tennis balls, I thought it was still 50 Shades of John topic still. That was his comment here. And, we got some more comments here. Vickers Cross, is that in the NLC again? I may be heading down to Halifax next week. You know what, Max? I don't want you to come down to Nova Scotia getting beers and doing reviews up in New Brunswick. You know what? Do your damn reviews in New Brunswick from New Brunswick beers that you can get at the stores. Don't be coming down and, hey, I'm in New Brunswick. I got all these awesome beers, but yet they're all of them from Nova Scotia. Lee, are you with me or not?
Especially since I can't seem to get Vickers Cross anywhere around here. Yeah, definitely. Piss off, Max.
Oh, we're a friendly sort here.
No, actually, some of the NSLCs, I go to three in my little hood, and what they seem to be doing for Boxing Rock is they just stack cases three high, either at the corner of the cold room,
yep,
or right,
yeah,
right in front of the cold room, or right in front of the cache. And that is consistent with Boxing Rock. I don't see that with anybody else but with Vickers Cross or Crafty Jack. So it's very interesting how they do that.
Bad one to have stacked up, though, really.
Mm-hmm. But if you want some Vickers Cross, just hang in the Bedford areas, Larry Utech or Mill Cove, you'll have tons of that. Don't go too far into the city. All right. Let's see. Let's move on to the next topic here, and then we're going to get to some of the more fun stuff here. YouTube, they are considering ad-free subscription service. So Keith provided that story here. And you know what? This is the trend of companies saying, you know what? $6 a month, all you can eat, stores open, right? HBO, CBS, Netflix, YouTube. You know, so we're not going to see the ads. You have the radio streaming services, Spotify, radio, and all that stuff. Are we moving from the cable TV, which we pay $120 a month for, and just breaking it out to $4 and $5 or $6 a month for all these other services?
We're not there yet, but it's going that way. Eventually it will.
Sure, it happened that way because some of the companies in the state said if there's unbundling of the cable services like we would like to see, they will stop streaming in Canada. They'll just stream online, offer it online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that company. But you know what? Maybe your $20 or $25 a month at 4 or 5 different services would probably end up getting you more in the long run, more that you wanted to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And this YouTube thing, their subscription-free service, I already have that service. It's called Adblocker, or the ad-free service. Who does not know what Adblocker is? You just put Adblocker in your browser. You see no ads. That's all there is to it. You don't have to pay YouTube shit.
I don't know if I'd be paying a couple bucks for YouTube. I don't know if you guys have been noticing, like, I've been trying to look up some songs on YouTube lately, and the ads are mostly the ads that you can't skip. You gotta watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why I have Adblocker.
Yeah, Adblocker.
Adblocker will get rid of that stuff. So I don't know how many kids would say, yeah, you know what? I will pay YouTube $3 a month, not knowing about ad blocker.
Not a lot. I guarantee about 90% of the kids know what ad blocker is these days.
Yeah.
Because that's like the number one complaint you see on videos from people. It's like, hey, why so many ads? I'm using ad blocker. That's it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the next topic here. The Ebola is getting close, guys. It's in Fort Kent, Maine. The nurse, you must have heard, you've seen the story. The nurse, she flew into Newark, New Jersey, and she was in a tent for 3 days. She started spewing off, and they shipped her. They drove her to her home in Fort Kent, Maine. And that is not far from the homestead. That's
good for her.
Good for her. Now, just look on a Google map where Fort Kent, Maine is, and you'll
see. As far as you can go.
That, you know, honestly, you know, they say there's 4,000 people in Fort Kent. That's being very generous. That's probably counting some of the Canadian population across the river. But it was great to see all these new news media outlets going up to Fort Kent and just calling it Northern Maine. Just might as well call it New Brunswick because they were just way up there. But basically, the nurse, you know, she was been testing negative. She didn't have her, you know, she was getting all stressed out by being put in a tent in New Jersey and all that stuff. Anyway, Maine wanted to quarantine her for 21 days, and just tonight, the judge said, no, frick that, she can roam around, just be self-aware or self-monitor. If you get a fever, quarantine yourself, but, you know.
Yeah. Here's my question. All that.
So there was these really...
Yep. I was just gonna say, is she actively going to people's doors, bringing it on their doorstep? They open the door and she's spitting in their mouths. Is that what she's doing? Because otherwise, no. She's not giving anyone Ebola.
I mean, I can see them being vigilant when they first come home, but
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that too. You know, you're at the customs and you're in Newark or Philadelphia, and you're like. You know, where were you at? Oh, I was in Liberia. What were you doing? Oh, you know, I was trying to take care of people dying of Ebola. All right, well, we're going to put you here in this tent here for, like, a few hours. We, you know, take your temperature and, you know, maybe take a blood test if you want. And, you know, but...
pisses me off.
No, yeah, like, you know, and then you see this media circus in Fort Kent. And she's taking a bike ride off of an ATV trail, and just about the snow up there. I'm going up there next week. I'm so close to Fort Kent on the New Brunswick side, it's crazy. But it's like, you know, they wanted her to stay indoors, don't go to public places. They couldn't deliver pizza. And, you know, Google Street, Fort Kent. And take a look at what's out there. There's not a lot going on.
We're going to send you home. Don't lick anybody.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, she doesn't have a fever.
It's not airborne. It's not highly contagious. What do people not get about this? The reason so many people got in Africa is because they live in slums with raw sewage floating in their streets.
Yeah.
The reason they got Ebola.
Yeah.
They don't have the proper medical facilities to take care of it.
Yeah, and the ones that get infected in the U.S. were working directly with these people.
The only reason it's an issue now is because a couple people got it in the States. People in general don't care about Africa. That's a terrible thing to say, but it's true.
And this pussified side of the world uses hand sanitizer on a daily basis. They're not catching Ebola. I'm sorry, they're not going to.
Hey, what's the view in Ontario? Are you guys going to get Ebola, or what's going on?
If it comes here, I'm going to be in the first place that's going to see it.
there's a better chance of albinism spreading in Ontario than Ebola. at this point.
Well, the thing is, my workplace, if it comes to Ontario, that's where it's going to hit, is my workplace. And if a worker gets it, it's because they're going to be doing something where their hands are all over somebody's cup or something, and then they just forget to wash their hands before they eat something. The only way it's going to happen. Or the people that just walk up to you and cough in your face when they order something.
Yeah.
I want to be
Yeah, exactly.
Spit up blood in your face.
Yeah. Max Maxwell Star says Fort Kent, not far from Edmonton. Yeah, that's right. It's not far. It's about a good it's a good half hour. Being from up there. Well, no. Well, the thing is, Edmonton is a problem. It's a problem. Oh no! If you were from Clare, that would be spitting distance from Fort Kent. But Edmonton is spitting distance from Madawaska. So it is. Being the area boy from up there, there's not a lot of stuff going on. And Max, you misspelled Edmonton. There's a D in there.
Oh, bad news.
Check your spelling, son.
Doesn't even know where he is. He's going to get a ball at first.
That's why St. John gets a bum rap, because he can't spell. I'm teasing.
I'm not.
I'm giving him a lot of crap. Like, holy crap, jeez.
Well, I know. He only jumps in once in a while to the hangout. Just want to make sure it's memorable for him.
we're terrible, you know.
Okay. All right. Enough about Ebola. Let's move on to the Wayback Machine, the nice new bit in the Hangouts. This is where we look back in our past between 1976 and 2014 and reminisce. Tonight it is 2000. That is the year that we're reminiscing on. And boys and girls who are watching, let's think back 2000, 14 years ago. What the hell was going on back 14 years ago?
It's hard for me to remember that because it was in between people panicking about the end of the world and 1999, everybody buying out Canadian Tire and 9/11. Kind of that little lifetime.
Yeah, that's true. Something happened in 2000. Walkerton, Ontario, in the water supply. Yeah. Killed nine people. That was in 2000. That was crazy. That was a crazy time. And you know what? It hasn't improved over time. We're still hearing about boil orders and all that stuff. So, yeah, what else we got going on here?
Pierre Trudeau died.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Fidel Castro came to the funeral.
I didn't pay any attention to anything in the 2000s.
That was the only time that you saw Cuba and an American president in the same room. Because Bush was up there, too. What else happened in 2000? What else we got? Not a lot. You know what? 2000, for all the hype, not a lot happened.
There's an Olympics in Sydney that year, I think.
What?
Yeah, there was.
And what?
Yeah.
Silly stuff that happened.
Hey, you know what? One of the best miniseries that I ever watched was from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. It was called The Games. It was on CBC for a little bit. They had two seasons of it. It was about the planning committee who was putting together the Sydney Games. It was hilarious. It was the dry comedy style. And one of the episodes I remember vividly was they didn't build the track right. The 100-meter track was 98 meters long. Not 100, 98. So they're trying to figure out how to extend it or how to fake it. It was hilarious. It was called The Games. ABC. What else happened? Lee, what happened in 2000 for you? Where were you in 2000?
I remember WCW folded and WWE became the only wrestling company basically in North America that's worth a damn.
Was that the Invasion? Was that the Invasion storyline?
I think that happened that same year, or maybe 2001, one or the other.
I remember that. Actually, I just didn't know what it was.
Well, it must have been because Chris Jericho won the WWF title for like 15 minutes. let's see, in terms of music, Bare Naked Ladies had their Maroon album out, which nobody remembers. Nelly Furtado had Whoa Nelly, which I think was her first CD.
Wasn't that her only CD?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it was her debut. Who did she get married to? I can't remember. Somebody from, I think from Chad's Nick of the Woods album out. Are they from your Nick of the Woods? King Cobb Steely? No, sorry, they're from Guelph. I'm sorry. Tragically Hip had Music at Work. Another CD that nobody listened to. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing going on in Canadian history in 2000.
Creed were really big.
What happened in the U.S.? What happened in the U.S. back then?
Might have been an election that year, obviously.
Yeah, George Bush.
Beginning of W.
We're going to have to... let's do a quick check on the comments here, boys, and I'll scroll on the Wikipedia page, trying to find some history here. Lee, do we have anything on avoidingchores.com?
Yeah, from Bluefin, he says, currently I pay about $159 a month for fiber up phone, internet, and TV to Bell. It seems like eventually we will get away from this and have many other subscriptions such as Netflix, YouTube, etc. Those will quickly add up to a big monthly bill. I hardly watch many TV shows anymore. I'd like to drop my current service, but the family won't go along with me yet. My son subscribed to a wrestling channel and Netflix in addition to the hundreds of channels we have with Fiber Op. He says, wow, we actually made it through Y2K. The computers didn't crash and planes didn't fall from the sky. And he said 2000 was the year his daughter was born, so that's a big year for his family.
Mm. Okay, good stuff. Carrie, what do we got on the YouTube?
Maxwell Starr says, when he first heard talk of tennis balls, I thought it was 50 Shades of San Juan, or 50 Shades of Juan topic still.
Yeah, we got that comment.
GC Storm says, our first safety word is Oklahoma.
Yeah, we saw that one too.
Says, lots of floaties. Maxwell Starr says, I felt good. Mm-hmm. And, Maxwell Storm says, Max Storm is still good around. So, anyway. That's all.
Okay, good stuff. What else happened in 2000? Let's see here. The Ilian Gonzalez affair. Remember that when the FBI stormed the apartment with the machine guns and little kid in the closet?
Yeah.
You guys remember that? Microsoft releases Windows 2000.
Hmm. Yeah, everyone forgot about that, too.
let's see here. What else we got here? There's not a lot what happened here. Oh, the Exxon Valdez. That was around that area there. We had the election, of course. George W. Wakefield Massacre in Wakefield, Massachusetts. 7 people died. And who died? Anybody here? Any? As I quickly, Walter Matthau. He died in 2000. Walter Matthau. Grumpy Old Men fame.
He did a lot more than that.
I'm just doing the last things he did before he died, just for people.
Yeah.
Charles Schulz, creator of Peanuts.
Yeah.
Peanuts. He died. Loretta Young. Steve Allen, original Tonight Show host.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
Screaming
about
Jay
it.
Hawkins. Screaming Jay Hawkins, I put a spell on you. He died. That's good for the Halloween theme.
Okay. And who else here? Victor Borg. Victor Borg, the conductor and pianist there. He died also. Yeah, so that was our way back machine, 2000. Awesomeness. Well, let's do a quick one last little check on the comments here so you guys can check out anything that came out since then. But otherwise, we can start to ramp down for another week. Just a reminder that the replay will come out 10-15 minutes once we're done. And, of course, we'll have the audio-only podcast over the weekend. Lee, any other comments, or we're pretty much all done?
Just one more from Bluefin saying, great show tonight, gang. I'll download the podcast for a second listen this week. See you all next week. All
right, awesome. Thanks, Mike. Carrie, what do we got on YouTube?
Nothing.
I got some stuff on Google Plus here. Maxwell Star says, 2000, he thought the Venga bus could have been coming. And just YouTube it, Venga bus, Venga boys. And he also said here that the Department of Justice found Microsoft guilty of antitrust. That was when they gave Corel, the makers of WordPerfect, millions of dollars so that the Department of Justice in the U.S. could steal WordPerfect. That was the only reason why Corel was still, or WordPerfect was still alive, was that the Department of Justice, they were using WordPerfect instead of Word. That was the only reason why that was happening. Anyway, with that, pretty much done. Let's do a quick round of plugs, see if you have anything to promote. I'd like to thank everybody who were watching tonight. We appreciate everybody watching. Lee, you got anything to plug?
Not really. I got a couple beer reviews and cider reviews coming up in the next few days. Thanks to Beer Guy Reviews, sent me a bunch of stuff. And hopefully get a couple more of my movie podcasts done and up for next week. So other than that.
And you got an episode 3, I think, that just came out last week, right?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Check that out. Chad, do you have anything to plug?
Same as Lee, nothing really. I got my videos every day, and basically once I'm holding my liquor license in my hand, I'll be plugging my 2015 Beer Festival.
All right, excellent. Good stuff. Keith, what you got to plug?
Check out the site, www.keithelliottstone.com. Check out the online store. I'm adding stock pieces for the upcoming holidays. Probably about 50 to 100 pieces will be going on in the next month.
All right, excellent. And just a reminder for everybody who don't know what Keith does, Keith is a stone. He works with stone. So if you want stone stuff, check that out. Might like it. Might like what he has there. Carrie, you got anything to plug?
I got a letter from Big Spruce the other day and said they said there's a competition going on.
Really?
Yep. Unfortunately, there's the beer that they're working on the competition. I'm not a favor of. So, but anyway, I'll get some Big Spruce tomorrow. So.
Okay. Yeah, you can say hey, Jim from Avoiding Chores says hi.
I will. I always will.
And then they're like, who?
Who? Jim? Who? Yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah.
That guy. The guy that I stopped sending messages to.
Yeah,
that happens. All right, kids, that's about it. Thanks a lot for that. Thanks a lot for the panel for jumping in tonight. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the viewers for watching here. We'll do this again next Friday. That's it. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah.